हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 7. The jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. Page 95. Unable to defend their theories, the modern scholars of the Mayavadi doctrine try to comfort themselves and others by statements filled with word jugglery, such as the following. Though the three schools exhibit a rich diversity of lines of thought, yet their ultimate motive is one, that is, establish Advaita with fine arguments. So, with a rich diversity of lines of thought, meaning that we don't agree with each other, but at the same time we don't want to say, we have to kind of like adjust with each other. So they're trying to support that, yes, see, it's a very rich like that, meaning their speculation is like this, and each one of them doesn't like the other one. All the schools try to reconcile the dictum of one changeless Brahman with the proof of the senses, which imply a manifold universe full of changes. So, we can say that these schools are only varying approaches towards the same basic problem. So, in other words, none of them know what's going on, right? But they're trying to make it sound like, that it's very rich, it's very diverse, they're intellectual, it's very, it's like, what it called? They're trying to establish a dwaita of fine arguments, then it's all right. Like that. So the distinctions that have occurred among the schools are not fundamental differences. Rather, they're differences regarding different stages of argumentations only. So in other words, saying it's all the same, just, there's different levels. So, of course, our school is at the top of the level, and the other two are below that. And they display a gradual developing maturity of conception. In order to establish a dwaita, they employed their own logic. Therefore, we can say that the Brahmati, Vartika, and Vivarna schools are only ways of describing a logical, philosophical approach to the insight of oneness that cuts through all languages and logic. Right? So we can see is that this context of trying to present things, which now is called political correctness, it's just word jugglery, where you try to use fancy words that people will take it in a different way. Political correctness is one of them. Then diplomacy is also there, but that one has a bad connotation like that. And at least around the world, I don't know. I think in France it doesn't so much. How you say, you're being diplomatic. It just means that you're being proper. You're following the etiquettes and everything like that.
It's not negative.
Huh? It's not negative. While like in America and stuff like that, amongst the Anglo-Saxons, it's negative. Mm-hmm. And then, what's the other? I think euphemism was also there. You're trying to say something that's not very good in a better light by using fancier terms like that. Mm-hmm. So, put all that together. So that's the things. They're giving a logical, philosophical approach on the inside of oneness. And that cuts through everything, so all languages, all logic, everything. So even though it may be wrong and it may not be complete, but it's, perfect in that it cuts through all those things, so everybody should be appreciative. So, yes.
Of Maharaj, it seems that the main mistake is to employ their own logic.
Exactly.
This is a mistake.
Exactly. Yeah. See, yes. This is the thing that comes out because, means for us, it's not necessarily seen so much as a fundamental, necessarily element within the philosophy, but this element of what do you call it? The seeing it from our view and seeing it from Krishna's view, samasti and vyasti. It's actually a very major principle. Because they're simply looking at it from their point of view.
Yes.
And they even state that.
Yes.
You know, all the schools try to reconcile the dictum of the one changeless Brahman with the proof of the senses, which imply a manifold universe full of changes. Yes. Right? So they're only looking at it from their viewpoint.
Yes.
So they're not actually even taking that the Shastra is giving the descending process. They'll base it on Shastra, because that's what Shankaracharya did. But we see is that where they feel that the Shastra's wrong, they'll just say it's wrong. Or it's the wrong understanding if Vyasadev didn't actually present it properly. You know, so you're going to get those aspects there is that they're only presenting it from their own perspective. So if you see as all the world philosophies and all this, they do exactly the same thing. You know, like even you say, okay, in the modern religious process, the living entity is, you know, born, and then from that, by through good work in that, he pleases God, and then he goes to an eternal place with an eternal form.
Yes.
You know, and he'll be happy. But it doesn't present anything from God's perspective.
Yes.
See, it's only from our perspective. You know, or yes, you know, we all should be nice, we should all live together, we should all be comfortable and all, which has a good point, but how does that reconcile with God's perspective? You know, or like in the Gita, Arjuna, that you have, he's talking non-violence and, you know, detachment and just, oh yes, give everything to them, why should we fight over this, we're all family. And so from the Vyasti point of view, it sounds fairly good. But then what about God's view? You know, the overall plan, what God's doing. And so he's brought all the demons of the world together in one place at one time to you know, do something special. And then Arjuna doesn't want to take part because he's being the nice guy. You know, because otherwise, yeah, Krishna could have killed them all himself one at a time, gone around and all that. He could have done that. But we don't see that Krishna does that. Because then by that, he's done everything. What does everybody else do? Right? We hear of Pandu going around conquering all the kings. We hear of Yudhishthira Maharaj with his brothers going out conquering all the kings. But you don't see Krishna going out and conquering all the kings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In Dwarka he doesn't do. Mm-hmm. And as Ramachandra he doesn't do. But he brings everybody, and that, yes, it went through, okay, Arjuna went to the north, he went through this, they went through the south, Bhima went this, went, you know, there's one story of Sahadev, you know, where the city, the Agnidev, I think, was controlling, and then, you know, one story of Bhima, and one story of, you know, Arjuna when he got up to the northern Kurus, and like that, and that's it, and it's like, you know, like, depending upon if you're giving a full version or you're giving, you know, a more concise version, mm-hmm. it can fit in 2 pages to half a page
mm-hmm.
and describe the whole thing. But when you bring all those nonsenses together at one time and then you have a war, even though it's 18 days, then Mahabharata, that is so many of the different parts, the parvas. Like that. And so, you know, hundreds and hundreds of chapters. You know, and then that, so it makes much more, and therefore people talk about it. Right? People will know about Kurukshetra, they'll know about the war with Ravan. Now, whether they know other details, that's another thing. So, you know, so Krishna has his way of doing things. So that's the whole point, is we have to bring our our view in line with Krishna's view. That's a chinta veda veda tattva. Simultaneously one and different. There has to be that oneness of mood, but there's difference of position. And this is the fun thing. Krishna, for Krishna, everything's him. It's all one. But he deals with everybody individually. Right? And we're individuals who then say everything's all one, even though we have no control over that. It's just a way to become God.
We use the same word.
Yeah. But that's the thing, these differences of things. So like we were saying, even the modern philosophy, it's all about themselves. I'm suffering, therefore I want to remove the suffering. And so I go through some process, you know, like in Buddhism or in Advaitism, or it's just, you know, you just be good, do the nicest you can, and then you die, you know, like that, or by working hard, then you could maybe make a better situation for yourself. And even if it doesn't last, that what you've done will give a lasting impression for others. You know, like people are still talking today about people in the past, how great they've done, and we've gotten the benefits. So in this way, you live on.
Yes.
But it's always from their own perspective. It's never including God's perspective. You know, so what's the reality? Who actually are you? Does that make sense? Yes.
We face the same problem in our own society, and even educators, they can discriminate between descending and ascending.
Yes.
And even if they are, whatever courses they develop or curriculum they develop,
mm-hmm.
they mix the two.
Right.
And then the audience, not having this final intelligence or mm-hmm. development,
mm-hmm.
they think ascending and descending, they are both on the same level, so it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because by default, the academic approach is ascending.
Yes.
So putting an emphasis of, because we just recently, came across with the course for the new devotees,
mm-hmm.
which is quite well developed,
mm-hmm.
and we couldn't figure out what's wrong with this course.
Right.
But the wrong part is a mixture of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we worship Krishna, we worship forefathers, we worship parents, we worship Paramatma, and it's all in the same bucket.
Yes.
Which for a neophyte devotee, they think, yeah, the moral principle and the Shuddha Bhakti principle is on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes it very, very confusing. And then to get rid of this,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, how is it even possible?
It's just a matter of discussing, because devotees don't seem to necessarily, it means, as you see here, these are great intellectuals,
yeah.
you know, in the past, and they come up with three schools and can't agree. And he's saying that there's no real main differences. They're all saying the same thing. The one says Brahman is the cause. The other says the material nature is the cause. These are quite major differences. But because it's all illusion for them, it doesn't matter if you put the illusion here, put the illusion there. What does it matter? You know? So that's why you see the acharyas, then they're always going to present, they're going to start with ourselves, that the need for spiritual life, by starting with the Vyasti. Then you're going to point out the actual reality of things from the Samasti, from Krishna's point of view. You know, what is the material, what it actually is, who are we? Because these aren't points of discussion, you know, I mean, as far as argument. These are facts. They're not opinions. There's no variety here of opinions in this on the transcendental platform of the nature of the jiva, of the nature of Krishna, of the nature of his energies. You know, or Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavad. They don't have those. How the primary creation, secondary creation work. It's not a point of, well, I don't believe. No, these are just the facts. Then you have recommendations on how we, in our position, can therefore connect with that and elevate ourselves. Right? So now that's where the Vyasti aspect comes in, is how do we, what's the best way for us to be involved? and elevate ourselves. So there you can have a discussion, what's the best? You know, do you stay in family life or not? Or how much do you get involved or not? Or do I keep doing the business or not? Or, you know, all these kind of, these are kind of things, discussions you can have. And then it's a matter of seeing it in line with what gives the results. What brings us to Krishna consciousness, being absorbed in Krishna. So what's favorable, that we accept, and what's not, we don't. And so this will come down. This also then solves the problem of the hard preaching, soft preaching. Because in both of them, you know, where there's a weakness, they're both just talking from the Vyasti point of view. One is taking that the rules and regulations and detachment and the material world's nonsense and all that, and pushing that view. And the other one's saying, no, no, it's all right. You just, you know, the point of you don't have to change your position, but they're not understanding what does that position mean. And so, no, it's this and that, and we don't have to worry about. But the point is the solution is the samasti. You start off with the position of the absolute, and that, and then how everything relates to the absolute, and how spiritual conscious, you know, consciousness, we're conscious, the supreme conscious, we're parts of that, you know, minute particles of a consciousness. And so how we can come in contact with the supreme. Then these discussions you can have basically in any audience. You know? The difficulty is Vyasti is where you have to be more careful. Our viewpoint and what works for, because otherwise the normal thing is what worked for me, that's what works for everybody.
Of course.
Yeah, of course, yes. Is there a doubt?
It's a fact. Hmm? It's a fact.
Yeah, of course. Well established, documented. And so that's then where that's where you have to be careful. But if you've already established that samasti platform, you've already established the need for them to look at it. Then you establish the samasti platform. Then you show them how they, in their position, whatever it may be, how they can connect to Krishna. So it becomes that's actually a very major platform. You know, there's the oneness, there's the difference. Krishna sees the oneness, we see the difference. You know? And so, how to make those two work together? Because the point is, our difference is within the context of His oneness. The context is not us, the context is Him. It's just like, oh, is it about the electricity or is it about the generator? The point is the generator makes electricity. Even if it's not making electricity, it's still a generator. But if the generator is not running, there is no electricity. So that means the generator is independent, the electricity is dependent. And so, therefore, you establish that our position is dependent on Krishna's view. How does Krishna? And He gives the the opportunities. And, you know, it's like you can have relationship with Him in all these different positions. Whatever it is, He'll reciprocate with you. Right? So He's very personal. But the point is how He functions in all this. So we can't take our position, you know, and then make that the standard. You know, therefore saying, because I like to wear this, therefore Krishna must be wearing it. I like to eat this, therefore Krishna must be eating this. Not that I like this, you know, can I offer it to Krishna? Would He like it? You know, and Rupa Goswami says, yes, you have, local and regional kind of, you know, how you say, delicacies and, you know, preparations and things that you really like and certain seasons are a way to do, and you offer those to Krishna. But it doesn't mean that you don't consider what Krishna likes. But it means, yes, you can use that. But then to take that as the thing is because I like this, you know, and it's so fabulous, and Krishna must be eating, Mother Jashoda must be cooking this for, because it's so good, you know? Like that. It means he'll eat it. You know, it's like the Bengali guy is eating his Bengali food at home all the time, but he goes out to a friend's house who's a Punjabi. He has no problem eating Punjabi. But it doesn't mean when he goes home he eats Punjabi. Yes?
We also see all the stories in Bhagavatam. They show how demons they use the Vyasti method of worship or whatever it is.
Yes.
It's always ascending.
Yes.
Still, we are afraid to preach the Samasti or descending because, and I had like, yesterday I had an hour argument with an educator who develops those programs.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, we have to do it from the ascending point of view because people won't understand.
No, but the point is, yes, you can say they won't understand it, but probably better Humsem, they won't relate to it. But to say they won't understand it, that's foolishness because by the ascending process, you cannot understand spiritual life. It's impossible. You can only understand it by the descending because Krishna reveals. It's not by one's logic that you can understand. This is the problem. One is enamored by logic, by position, by money, by all these different things, by successes of people in the world. And we want to impress them as if they are impressible. You know? And so then the whole point is who cares? It's just like you have a class of people who have success in the world. You know, they've recently gained that success. And they are trying to fit in with everybody else who's successful. And they're trying to let everybody know that they're successful. But there's a term for them. You know, excuse the French, but nouveau riche. Yeah, it just means new rich. Anybody who is rich doesn't like them. Anybody who's not rich doesn't like them. In other words, the only one that likes them are themselves. Because they're trying to show off and this and that. No, it's either, you know, you're rich, you live like that. You know, it's natural. You live in this way. You're not rich, you don't live in that way. You live in another way. But whatever your position you'd be comfortable at. So this whole idea is that we're the nouveau intellectuals or we're the nouveau materialists or we're the nouveau yogis or the nouveau new agers or whatever it is like that. It's like, who cares? Those who are actually situated in those things really couldn't care less. You know? And those who aren't, then it doesn't matter to them because it's not a field of their consciousness. So the point is what is Prabhupada makes the point is that we're professionals in spiritual life. That's where professional. So this idea is no, we'll be in everything. A doctor is only professional in medicine. And even that, when he's a professional, it's actually specialized. You know, he just does ear, nose, and throat. So if you have a problem with your toenail, he'll say, talk to that specialist. He won't say, oh yes, you know, I'm a doctor. No, he won't do that. Right? The general practitioner, then he can give a general thing, but if it's too detailed that he can't tell, you have to go to a specialist. So this idea in academics, let's say you were having a science conference, psychologists and artists, you know, that they may be professors, but they can't show up at this conference and speak. In the same way, let's say we're doing something on, you know, literature and all that. The nuclear physicists can't come and speak. So it has to be understood. We're professionals in the spiritual field, and so that's what we know. That's what we do. And yes, we don't know other fields, but that's not a problem because no one in the professional field knows anything outside of their profession. They do that as an individual. It's not as a professional. You know, the lawyer might have a great interest in studying Shakespeare. That's what he does, and so he can talk that, but he's not a professional in it. I remember one big, top musician in India. You know, we were talking about the instruments, and somehow it came up about, because he played Veena, Rudra Veena. And so then it came up, Surbahar. He says, yes, I can play that also. You know, and he said, and sitar, I can play that, but not professionally. Means, in other words, I wouldn't do a performance in sitar. I can play it. Because as a kid, you start on the sitar in their school. You start there. And then once your fingers work and everything like that, then you switch over to the main instruments. So he's not practiced that. So they don't mind saying, I know this, I don't know that. So this thing of being embarrassed about it or trying to impress, no, we're professional spiritualists. That's what we know. We're professional in this. That's why we can speak this. Others can't speak this. Who else can speak this? You know, you can say, oh, but he's the professor. Yeah, but he has his field. This is our field. We speak what's that. We say what's spiritual. And so that's the whole point, is that no. It says the descending process is the only way you can understand. And this is the fun part, is that it's defined that nishta is that faith that there isn't anything else other than devotional service that can elevate you. No other process. So if you still have attachment by logic and that, these things will elevate you. That's not nishta. That's still within anartha nivriti. It's still anishta bhajana kriya. If we want to be real. You know, I mean, we can be generous and all that, and a person's steady in so many other areas, so therefore we'll call him nishta because, let's say, his japa is steady, or his temple programs are steady, or his other services are steady. But when it comes to this point of faith here, his faith is not on that platform. So one has to see is that, no, there is an absolute standard. And in the modern, that's the whole thing. There's no standard. So anything goes. But we have a standard. And we try our best to do whatever we can in that, you know. And different people, like it says, different birds fly at different heights. You know, like they're trying to infer here. Yes, they different thing at different heights. Of course, our school is the highest. You know, these Mayavadis will be saying. But the idea is that, you know, you do your best. And because you're doing your best to please Krishna, therefore Krishna being pleased, even if you're only getting at this level, you'll go back to Godhead. Someone else is functioning at this level, they'll go back to Godhead. But you can't say, as no one will understand. That's nonsense. Where does that come from? As if there are people understanding through this process and going back to Godhead. No, it's only through descending. The acharyas are very, very clear about this. Unless you please Krishna, you won't understand. And so if you mix everything up where you can't tell where is pure devotional service, it's not a serious service. You can say, okay, we're trying to do something. That's nice. And so that's great. You're doing something. But don't say, oh, it can't be done any other way, because now you're taking the position of authority. And so that's the whole point. Is if your authority is coming from descending. And if you say, oh, that doesn't work, then you're not an authority. And so therefore you can say, well, it's the only... Then bottom line is, it's the only thing I can... I don't understand the other thing. So I've done the best I can in this, you know. So if there's some more direction how to improve it, then okay, then do it. But to say, no, this is the only way, is that this is inexperienced. It means it's a lack of experience in spiritual life. Maybe in modern academics, they may be quite mature. But modern academics, we have zero examples of anybody going back to Godhead. Nothing. Even within the Vedic, where they're taking from Shastra, but they're still applying an ascending process to it, like the Mayavadis and, you know, the logicians, and all, they're not going back to Godhead either. So only those who accept the descending process with the descending mentality, they go back to Godhead. I mean, so we're talking within the educational process. So it's just that's the point of samasthi. It's the way it is. And that's why they don't want to accept it, because then you have to do it in a specific way. You know, it'll have its uniqueness according to each individual. But at the same time, is there is an absolute standard. But in this way we can say, oh, there's not an absolute standard. And so, yes, you can't do it in the absolute standard. Then we bring it into the vyasti. Is that, you know, okay, we have so many ways of doing it. Right? Just to do that. Why are you saying there's only one? There's so many ways. But then once you agree that, you've gotten rid of the absolute standard. Now it's my way is the best way. You know, it's just like here, these Mayavadis. Each one thinks they're the...
You say. Although we are equal, but...
Yes, we're equal. We're equal, yes. Oh, it's like the pigs. Right? What was that? What was the line? Okay, he said, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Yeah, so that's the position. So it has to be understood as no. It's not like that. You know? So yes, if you want to be a professional academic, you can be. But this movement is for creating professional spiritualists. That's our line. This is where we are professional. And so therefore, if you're professional, then learn your profession. Out there trying to, you know, do whatever it is, you can do that. But how much respect will you get?
Well, from an uneducated crowd, you'll get a lot of respect.
Yes. And then there's Krishna and the Acharyas.
Till the time that you get the respect, till the time there is somebody better than you.
Yeah, you get the respect till there's someone better. You know? And then that's it. Then it moves on.
Yes.
So, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Can we say that in spiritual life, we can also have the same system that the nouveau riche? Yes. The son comes to his con like that, and in the beginning, very humble like that, and after taking some creating some philosophy.
Yes.
It's exactly like the nouveau riche.
Yes.
Doing the same thing.
Yes, yes.
If you don't have a constant, guidance from the descending process,
yes.
There is a good chance we take another direction.
Yes, because if you're using descending, there's only one process.
Yes, only one.
But if you're using ascending, many processes. And so therefore, someone's doing this, someone's doing that, and then they'll always fight with each other. So that's a given, that they're going to fight with each other. But in the descending, there's no fight. You know? So that's the point, is that it's all there. It's just a matter of taste, where you want to go with this. But pure devotional service only has one viewpoint. And then within that, now there's taste. So that's then where you're applying the vyasti on the transcendental platform. But we can't apply the vyasti on the material platform and think it's spiritual. We can engage, we dovetail our position. But the way approach to dovetailing it has to be from the descending. You know, like otherwise, Arjuna is engaging his position in the first chapter, but Krishna says it's bogus because it's not considering where his nature comes from, what it's for. Like Kshatriya nature, where does that come from? It comes from Krishna. The Varnashram is the various parts of the body of the Lord. You know, say it's mundane if it's not connected to the Lord. If it's connected to the Lord, it's Daivi Varnashram. So it's a bona fide religious process. Now, from that process, you will get results in those areas. So therefore, then that's why the focus is on pure bhakti. Because pure bhakti gives pure bhakti. Bhakti gives bhakti. Now, karma and jnana function because of their connection to bhakti. But because if the intent is the karma or the jnana, bhakti takes a back seat. It still gives the potency that those karma and jnana can deliver their results, but as soon as the results are delivered, bhakti disappears. So bhakti never gives. It doesn't give liberation. It doesn't give any of these things. It's just any process works because of the connection to bhakti. Like say we're doing giving in charity. Because it's connected to bhakti, then we move forward in that. But it also will give the result in its area of karma. You know, we're using knowledge and detachment. It will give its result because of the bhakti. But the point is only when we connect it to Krishna, then it actually has a meaning. So we have to actually know what is pure devotional service. Otherwise, if we don't know, then like this, we mix so many things up. You know, it's like sixth canto, and the which is the is it the maybe it's the fourth chapter of Manu. You know, and then so many places that Srila Prabhupada is talking about, where they're talking about that when you're born, you have debts. Mm-hmm. But the point is if you're serving Krishna,
yes,
these debts are taken care of. That's why Krishna says, as you surrender, sarva dharma paritya jamam. So all these religious processes are taken care of in bhakti. So it's not from the Vyasti point of view I get rid of this and now I can do whatever I want. No, it's from the I'm always absorbed in Krishna. It's already taken care of. The purpose of any of these is to attain Krishna. So if I'm already serving Krishna, it's already attained. You know, it's just like, let's say, I can get on the bus and I can go from here to Calcutta and stop in all these little places. You know, or there's a process where, you know, you are getting on, let's say, helicopter here and it lands in Calcutta. You know, it's 20 minutes, the other one's 4 hours. You know? And so you can say, but what about stopping? You don't need to. It's already, the distance that's covered there is already done. Since you're using other products, then yes, you go through all these stages, but it's already automatically included. The distance to go from here to Runagat's already included in the helicopter ride. Yes?
There is this perspective that when we start from Vyasti and then ultimately we're trying to reach to Samasti, then there is a big weakness which happens is like from each individual consciousness, then you may go and get to consciousness of all the individuals of the universe. But still, that Samasti is subordinate, as it's mentioned few verses before, that the Bhagavan is beyond Vyasti and Samasti.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come from Bhagavan, and that Samasti view of all Jiva's perspective where it coincides with his plan,
mm-hmm,
then that Samasti is what we are trying to attain. But when we start from Vyasti and trying to go to Samasti, what we think as Samasti is not Samasti.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, in the modern world, when they drop down to, the Vyasti from the Samasti point, like from the absolute truth philosophy to everything can be relative,
mm-hmm,
then from that philosophy, naturally, it is most like psychology, individual psychology, and everybody relates to it, appreciates it's working for me to some extent.
Mm.
And then sometimes you see then inconsistencies, then obviously the modern scientists will overtake because their perspective is data analysis. You get data from maximum data,
mm-hmm,
trying to get like samasti from the Vyasti point of view.
Mm-hmm.
That's why then the scientists overtook the so-called philosophers who are actually the psychologists.
Mm.
Now in the modern science, then when we see pitfalls, again the psychologist makes little more sense on an individual level. So that's why we just oscillate between
the two.
Two. Scientists and psychologists.
Mm.
Because we think samasti is what the scientists say.
Scientists say. Yeah, because samasti will be paramatma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because for Krishna, it's rasa. He's the lord of rasa. So control of the energies, how everything works and all that, that's paramatma. Like that. How he pervades everything and all that, that's Brahman. And so the impersonalists and all that are accepting that aspect, but there's, because in that there's no action, there's no anything other than just there is Brahman, that's all the more they have to deal with it. So everything else they do is going to be Vyasti, it's always going to be ascending, their view. Then if you accept Paramatma, then okay, I have to, you know, there's activity and all that and all that, and because you're trying to please the Lord, and so then some a little bit of that cooperation is there. But at the same time, as Krishna says, he's beyond this Vyasti and Samasti, because for him it's about, you know, what is Mother Jashoda, you know, doing? What are the gopis? What are the cowherd boys? So this is what's important. So then his view is simply the devotion of the devotees. That's the Samasti there. And the vyasti of the devotees is simply how, in their position, they can do activities that would be pleasing to him.
Yes.
So then you get braj.
Yes.
So it's the most. It's like you've gone to the other side of all this. Yes. So all this is just to get us so that we don't get stuck somewhere.
Yes.
You know. So the sahaji is, oh, we don't need any of that, and then go there, and then they completely miss the point. And if we just take the philosophy, then we also may miss the point. So,
yeah, like a few days ago, we discussed the cause and effect, and the causal ocean, which is the border between the spiritual and material.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take primary creation, the cause is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And everything here is in effect. Although, from this point of view, it appears as the secondary creation, there's cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it confirms actually the same point Prabhu was making.
Mm.
If we're looking from ascending,
mm-hmm.
then we have a certain vision, but it's very limited. It's within Mahat.
We see the cause and effect within Mahat.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But then what's beyond, what's the cause in the, who's the cause of all causes,
mm-hmm.
we will never see that.
Yes.
Because there's a viraja.
Yeah, viraja won't let you
we
see
past.
We can't
cross that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. So that has to be clearly understood. Otherwise, then, means karma and jnana is what goes on in the world. That's where the philosophies are, that's where the endeavors are, that's where the, you know, happiness and misery is. You know? But we're not getting the happiness we're looking for, man, the misery, we come to Krishna consciousness. Then we take up the, you know, this more understanding of the pure devotion, practice in that way. But with time, if we're not careful, then again, the karma and yan from our background, from our conditioning may come up. And in coming up, then we can get distracted. Therefore, the whole thing, you know, we're saying about management, being professional and all that, that's the karma side. And then all this, how you say, ascending academic kind of thing, trying to do it in a modern way, because, you know, that will impress everybody and everyone can relate and all that. And no, most people don't relate. Especially, I mean, if you're taking, okay, people in Europe and something like that, they can a little bit relate. But if you take the Anglo-Saxons, it's like they haven't related to education for a long time. Guys at the 4-point average, they're doing okay. You know? But the fun point is, they're the ones that you can so easily discuss straightforward philosophy with. It's the others that think that it should be in this way or that way, they may have difficulty. So that's why then you look for the innocent. Those who don't adhere to a particular philosophy. Once they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, and they'll have their doubts, they express them, they remove their doubts, then they can see, yes, this is there. But those who are completely committed to it, then you move on to the next one.
The difficulty seems to be is that those who have academic degrees outside of Krishna consciousness, coming into the Krishna consciousness, they like to poke their noses into, you know, philosophy and be, like you're saying, professional in that field, because they think there's a connection, but there's zero connection. It's completely disconnected.
Yes.
Unless we're connected in Krishna consciousness, like Srila Prabhupada is doing, he's putting the ascending within descending, but he explains what's the cause, what's the effect,
yes.
But not the other way around.
Yes.
But this becomes the difficulty.
Yeah. In other words, you don't get the opposite illusion of we're the cause, I like to eat this, therefore Mother Yashoda, the effect is Mother Yashoda must be cooking this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Aropa Siddha Bhakti. This is like very...
Yes, very basic. So the whole point is if you can say, well, this is all I can relate to and all I can do. And so that humility, you will advance. But if you do to prestige and all that, you're trying to establish, no, you know, I can't be, I'm the intellectual, I can't be seen as not, you know, understanding this. But the point is understanding devotional service is by devotion. The qualification for devotional service is devotion, not intellect. Otherwise, Gotama's son would have been a pure devotee. You know? Like that. But he wasn't, because he was so proud. Even his father could understand, you know, where is knowledge, you know, wisdom. Well, Gotama's son couldn't because of his pride. So that's why Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, these things are immediately brought in. You're more humble than a blade of grass. You're starting off there. If that's there, and in Krishna and in Gita, then the knowledge is given as qualities, and the foremost quality is humility. The symptom of knowledge is humility. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's that. If you've memorized lots of facts and you can mechanically use that in the Vedic is not actually called knowledge, because where's the character there? The point is knowledge and skills are to be applied according to character. Character is then engaged in the Lord's service. And so to back that up, you use your knowledge and skills. But if we think knowledge and skills is the qualification, that means there's no character. Knowledge and skills is simply the sad aspect. Willpower is the chit. And so therefore, and that's where the qualities are. So you're engaging all these nice qualities there. So we're looking at it that, oh, you have to be nice and good, but we're looking at it as chit. Sat, rather than chit, which is, no, it's qualities in devotional service. They're gained from devotional service. They come from Krishna. Krishna is the one who's Brahman is just the effulgence of his qualities. Yeah. So when you say, yes, he was effulgent with it, means he has good qualities. So it has to be appreciated that if we let these elements of karma and jnana in, these weeds, then they take over. That's what Lord Chaitanya is talking about in this CC. With Rupa Goswami, is that the weeds get watered. You have to be able to identify a weed. Not that I'm a devotee, I do devotional service, so therefore anything I do is devotional service. No, it has to be coming from the Lord. We can't use faulty logic. Oh, what to do? Yes.
If the society is not full of pure devotee, we can expect some type of difficulty.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's the point is preaching movement means you're throwing the net wide and pulling in individuals from everywhere. So there's always going to be, but that's the whole point. Leadership means keeping it on the path, on the razor's edge of pure devotional service. Yes. You're taking from a wide, it's like honey. When you pour honey out of a jar, it comes out this wide. And then very quickly it goes down to a super fine point. Mm-hmm. You know, you hold it up like this, it goes super fine point. So like that, the wide range will be there, and then it's all brought together, you know, down the path of the razor's edge. Because otherwise, why do we, if we need leadership and management and this and that, and this is going to make the society work, then why are we dealing with a bunch of people who have zero background in this, zero nature in this? Why wouldn't we just go out and hire some professionals? You know? Because that, being professional on the material platform means you have to have the qualification for it. You have the nature for it? Yes, you can be. Why not? You know? Like that. You know, as it says in Bhagavatam, you know, sometimes at the end of the chapters in the first cantos, then, you know, someone who reads this chapter, if he's a Brahmin, he'll be the best among Brahmins or something. If he's a Kshatriya, he'll be the emperor. If he's a businessman, he'll be the most wealthy. And if he's a Shudra, he'll be a devotee. You know? Whatever, it just means in his area, you can be good in your area. Musician, you can be better. But you can't say, I'm from this background, I'm going to be that. No. But on the devotional platform, everybody can be a sadhu. Everybody can be Vaishnava. And everybody can be professional in Vaishnavism. And then you maintain yourself and do services according to your conditioning as a secondary support. So you have to know where you can be, because otherwise, yes, you can do these things. You use the modern academy, then you're automatically going to be attached to ascending when it's a faulty process. That's why the first thing in epistemology is, how do you gain knowledge? And so the first thing is Shabda. Right? But they want to work on Pratyaksha and Anuman, specifically Anuman, because I can speculate and all that. But it will not get you. Shabda will get you. Now, if you take Shabda, now use your intelligence to apply it into your situation until you can see it, how it practically works. That's the way, that's the descending process. In other words, it starts from Shabda. Through Anuman, you get it to Pratyaksha, and now you can use it directly in your life or in others' lives. But if you think that from Pratyaksha you're going to get the Shabda, it will never happen. Right? In a billion lifetimes of Brahma, it'll never happen. It hasn't happened yet. And there's been unlimited lifetimes of Brahma. So there's plenty of, like Prabhupada was saying, plenty of data that you can analyze. Like that. So that's the whole point. There is no question of it, because the point is Krishna is knowledge. He is devotion. He is religious principles. So therefore, we have to see him connection to him. To reject them and say, oh, it's Indian, that means you're rejecting Krishna. You know? That's it. You can't say, no, we're doing this, we accept. No, you don't. You only accept what part of Krishna you like. The part that I'm going to be freed from material anxiety, that part you like. You know, I should get material facility, I should get respect, I should get this, like that. I should be freed from the material world. You know, so it's just like everyone else. I do whatever I do and God's pleased, I get a better situation. So that's conditioning. Right? When the reality is, no, you serve Krishna, you please Krishna, anyabhilashita shunyam. You know, you control the senses by engaging in Krishna's service. You know, arguing over what way I'm going to engage the senses. You know, that's not what's important. The first is, how is it connected to Krishna? Okay. End of description of the history of Mayavad doctrine. Having pointed out the basic flaws in the Mayavad philosophy, the author next elaborates on the topic of I guess the jiva's position as I guess it works on the topic of jiva's position, that would work, as a subservient to Paramatma, by refuting the three famous theories: Avacchedavad, jiva is a fragment of Brahman; Abhashavad, jiva is the shadow of Brahman; and Pratibimbavad, jiva is a reflection of Brahman. But these are also the schools, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Of the Advaita school in relation to the origin of jiva. So now Jiva Goswami, then he gives the Purvapaksha, right? So their next argument, the Mayavadi's next argument. The proponents of Advaita have these three opinions concerning ignorance. According to the first opinion, Avacchedavad, jiva is a fragment of Brahman. The jiva is caused by ignorance. There is a variety of ignorance because of a variety of jivas. So it's not even producing just jiva, it's producing different kinds of jivas because of different ignorance. So if that's the case, if they're all different ignorance, then it wouldn't be the same knowledge that would elevate each one. Right? You need a slightly different knowledge to elevate each one, because they're the how do you say? It is caused by ignorance and the variety of here. Because of the beginningless division of jivas relating to this ignorance by their perceptions, Brahman, becoming the object of this ignorance, transforms into the universe as an illusion, like mistaking shell for silver. So now you see here, even the jivas become the cause for the transformation of Brahman. Somehow or another, the fragment of Brahman is separated by due to ignorance. And then because of this ignorance of the jivas, that being then related to Brahman, their perception, that generates the material world. But the point is where did their senses come from to perceive the world, to therefore it will be produced? Does that make sense? You know, they're leaving out that you'd already have to have the creation before the jivas. Yes.
In Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains this point, what is the difference between Vivartavat and Vikara. Vikara is a transformation, like milk and the yogurt.
Right.
That's Vikara.
Okay.
But Vivartavat means we perceive one thing for the other.
Yes.
So it's illusion in itself.
Mm.
It's not... It has no substance. Also, another point is that even if there's an illusion, you can't base illusion on another illusion. You have to base illusion on reality, because both the rope and the snake exist.
Mm. Yes, yes, yes.
But the followers of Vivartavat, like the shell and the
silver.
And the silver. The both objects exist, but our perception of those objects are wrong, actually. This is the problem.
Yes, but there's an object that you're seeing. They're saying it's an illusion, but there are those objects. Mm-hmm. That's what they said. Yeah. Yes. Yes, you can see is that they're just coming up. Utra, two other parties criticize the theory because ignorance, taking Brahman as its object, becomes Ishwara. Two other parties means the other two Mayavadis.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is each one says the other one's wrong in their theory. Otherwise, why would there be three schools? Making Ishwara the product of ignorance, like the jivas, contrary to the Shruti, which declare that the Lord is the Antaryami. This theory is proposed to avoid a jiva being the creator of the universe, but is not intelligible. Right. You know, so they don't want the jivas, because otherwise the jiva is, being the creator of the universe, and the jiva is then the creator of Ishwara. You know, and then having done that, then we're saying we are Ishwara, and then we are Brahman. So yeah, one should not say that Ishwara is bifurcated consciousness, influenced by Maya with Maya as its shelter. Being the Antaryami, the Lord would have contrary functions, monitoring Maya and taking shelter of it. Right? So how does he monitor it and take shelter of it? Right?
We want to do that.
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah, we want to control Maya, but we're taking shelter of Maya. Yes. According to the first opinion, so we see it's just all varieties of mundane consciousness. Right? According to the first opinion, jiva is created by ignorance. It is unsuitable that ignorance, which has no beginning, must invariably take shelter of the jiva, right? Because if illusion has no beginning, it does, so it's already existing without jivas. So why does it need to take shelter of jivas? It already is doing fine on its own. So,
he sees that there is bifurcation, not two ways, two different approaches.
Yes, well, actually, three. Three. Yeah. It is unsuitable that ignorance, which has no beginning, must invariably take shelter of the jiva, just as the illusion of silver, when seeing shell or a snake, when seeing rope, does not arise invariably. It's not that the rope now takes shelter of the snake now takes shelter of the rope. Snake still is snake. Right? It's not, because otherwise if it did, if the snake took shelter of the rope, we'd have a problem.
Yeah.
Every time you go to tie your shoelaces, you have to take a stick with you, like that, then take it. Yeah, and then what happens if your shoelace swallows a mouse and it's too fat, you can't actually tie the shoelaces. It'd be a real problem. No? Like seeds producing trees, with the succession of contacts of Brahman with ignorance, there would be asleep. Okay, like seeds producing trees with a succession of contacts of Brahman with ignorance, there will be birth of successive jivas and an end to jivas when the contact ends. The jivas would be different in every birth. Right, there'll always be different things, whether Brahman is contacting or not, and all this. So it's not a stable situation. So then how do you establish it? As she's saying, it's unsuitable. It's that you can't. How do you have a proper philosophy? So you see, is they're trying to take care of everything by the ascending process. So they're not in any way trying to see it from the descending, from what's the absolute. Because if there's the absolute, then these things are clear. It's set. Like when we talk about creation, it's not that there's many ways creation. There's one system. We may have more or less detail, but there's only one system.
Sometimes it looks like an old boat and it starts leaking from this side.
Mm-hmm.
So we take a lump of earth and just put it there.
Mm-hmm.
But then the leakage, then we take the same lump of earth and put it
but on the other
leaking,
side.
It's
yeah,
leaking
yeah.
on it. It's like they have to constantly, you know, deal with the flows and the philosophy.
Yes, yes. And then they have to completely move everything. And so that's what we have to be very careful, is that something happens, some journalist, somebody makes a comment, and then, oh, now everything has to center around that. No, you just deal with that. Keep everything else moving. You know, otherwise someone made a comment or this or that, oh, we've got to stop Hari Nam because it's bad publicity and all that. It says, but the point is amongst the materialists, it's always been bad publicity. You know, as far as a materialist goes, he wants to stay in ignorance. He does not want to be elevated. So, of course, there's going to be. But the point is it's just like what kid likes medicine. But does that mean they don't take their medicine? You know? And it's bitter in the beginning, but as you hear it, it starts to become sweet. So that's the whole point. So if they're running away, that means they need it even more. You know? I mean, I don't agree that this thing that people are running away, I don't know where this came from. You know, have you ever heard of an example of people running away?
No.
No. But so there's somehow this idea, we go in Hari Nam, people run away. No one runs away. Sorry?
Orthodox.
Oh, the Orthodox. Oh, yeah.
They really run away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. See, we benefit them. They get some exercise. Otherwise, you know, come on, all that cream cheese, and they're not, you know, they got to do some exercise.
They think that the Holy Ghost can enter them, and then they will be hunted. So they just run.
They will become us.
But the Holy Ghost is holy, so then...
But it's a ghost.
Oh, but it's a ghost.
They're afraid of the ghost.
Aha. Uh-huh.
They don't care if it's holy.
When it enters them, it's...
So if they're...
Its holiness.
Hmm?
When it enters them, probably it loses its holiness.
Loses its holiness. But then that's by association. If they're holy, then the ghost will become holy. Okay, whatever case. But, you know, other than that, then... You know, so we come up with these ideas and then base philosophies. That's like you're saying. It's just, you just move around. Point is no, you just deal with it. You know, so, okay, don't do Hari Nam through the Orthodox neighborhood, you know. Go to the next block over, you know.
Srila Prabhupada, he never thought of bad publicity, because if whoever makes the publicity, they mention devotees, they mention Krishna, it's good for
it's
us.
It's good.
Whether it's in negative or positive, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, yeah. I remember once in Australia that there was some guy who was, you know how you get these kind of like talk shows or things like that, where I mean, there's the pleasant talk shows, there's the variety talk shows, and then there's the talk show with a snarky guy who finds fault with everybody and everything, right? So this was one of those guys. And so then he had his people go out and you know, they've observed, and then they come up with their own ideas, so they go out, and you know how they ask questions that are already biased to a certain direction. They're not trying to find out. And so they come out and they're this and talking, you know, and this and going to devotees. And so, you know, is this what's going on here? And you know, it's like you get, you know, flustered or this or that or whatever it is. And so then they go back and let's say they get, you know, like this, you know, 2 hours of data, you know, of film. And then, you know, those things that may be supportive of Krishna consciousness, they'll drop those out, and ones that support their viewpoint, they'll keep. So they'll get 5 minutes of stuff that they want to present. So he presented on the show, made a whole big thing like that. And then he got a contact that what devotee wanted to come on his show live, talk to him about these points. And so he's thinking, oh, wow, this will be really good. You know, because then he can, you know, because he makes the mistake of you're talking to someone there who's in, you know, dealing with this, and the other is that you can edit out what you don't like. And so then he came on the show and he started, you know, making all his points and that, and the devotee just kept at it very pleasantly, very nicely, just going after it until at the end he had nothing to say. And I even think at some point he had to actually leave. He was so freaked. You know, it's one of those, you know, we go to commercial and all that, and he had to walk off. You know, go for a bit of a walk, this and that. And, you know. And devotees see his smile. And then the fun point is, after that, he never made any negative comments about the devotees again. You know, he didn't become like a supporter, but he never made any like this. So that's the point. Someone does deal with it. Then you see the problem goes. And the public, then they see this. And then they see devotees are thinking, because it's one thing, he's out after everybody, and everybody likes that. But if anybody can get him, that will be even more appreciated. You know? So then for the devotees, it was great. They go out on the Harinams and that. Now people are, yeah, you know, like that. So that's the thing, is that you have to be confident of our position. Like Prabhupada said, there's no bad publicity. They're talking about it. That means the door's open for discussion. You know, it's like you want to go, the car is pointing, you know, let's say north. You want to go south. But the only way to get to go south is start to drive. You start north and you turn it around and you go south. But this idea is, no, if we go, it'll go a little north, so then no driving, we'll just sit here. Then, you know, what's the point? Then that's akarma. We're not doing, means akarma, meaning the material meaning of akarma. Meaning we're not doing our work. Our work is serving Krishna. We're not doing it. And so that won't get you benefit, anyone else benefit. You know? We're not, again, say we're not doing vikarma, but we're not doing our work, the proper karma. You know, or daiva, you know, the transcendental activity. So we have to understand, it's not doing something doesn't mean that you've actually done anything positive. You're like political things, oh, we don't support this and all that. Okay, but are you doing something? You know, if you're not in a position, then okay, that's all right, but then don't claim to be in a position. You know? I remember as a kid, we were building something and that, and then it came out that, you know, I mean, you have, I don't know if they do it anymore, but before you had these screws and they kind of had a silver coating on them. They're actually like iron screws, but they have this kind of silver coating on it. And it makes them go in nicely, they look good, they don't rust. But it's a super toxic kind of thing. And so then, okay, you don't buy those screws, I bought brass screws. You know, so, you know, you're making a choice like this because there is something else. But otherwise, then you have to be very, very careful in dealing in this area, that if it's your, that you don't not do your duty. You know, does that make sense? Because otherwise, then it looks like you're doing something, but you're not actually doing anything. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So unless it'll have some influence, then what's the point? So, yeah. Riti. The second theory is called Abhashavad. Jiva is the shadow of Brahman. Abhashavad is attributed to Vidyaranya. although it is evident in the works of Sureshwaracharya as well. According to this theory, the concept... Oh, so when you say the school, so these are subsections within the school. The next generation.
Yes,
sir. Okay. So we dealt with the main schools, now we're dealing with the next generation of schools.
No. This is the main school. Initially, in the Vritti, we explained what the school is, because here...
Okay. Well, just with the school, so we'll understand what he's talking about.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. According to this theory, the concepts of both the Jiva and Ishwara are ultimately illusions. Purva Paksha. The second opinion is as follows. The reflection of consciousness in avidya is Ishwara. The shadow of consciousness in avidya is the Jiva. These entities are false. Like mistaking a rope for a snake. So isn't there also a philosophy that's reflection?
That's the next one.
That's the next one. So in this one, Ishwara is reflection, and Jiva is shadow. But in the next one, then Jiva is reflection.
Yeah. In this one, both are illusions. Jiva and Ishwara are illusions. In the next one, both are reality. There is no illusion.
That's Padmapada, right?
Yeah.
Of all of them, Padmapada is known for devotion. You know that story? Somehow or another, he was late and he was supposed to be going with Shankaracharya and his group. You know, he's traveling with them. They had already taken the boat across. Somehow the boat had gone and that. There was no way. And so then he wanted to be there, and Shankaracharya just called him. He's on the other side of the river. And he just looked at him and ran. And there was lotuses. So that's why he's called Padmapada, because these lotuses came up where he stepped.
That's even better than Jesus.
Even better. Yeah, he just walked on the water. This guy got lotuses on top of the water. Yeah. So I'm just saying, it's because he had a little more devotion, then he'll have a little bit more touch of reality in his philosophy. But still, it's not complete.
It's not complete, but it's very tricky. And like, it brings out the aspect of, you know, Veda.
Yeah.
But the focus is not on...
Yeah, but it's still ascending, so then you can still make the mistake. He still has its faults. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Basically here, Jiva Goswami just says what their conception of Jiva and Brahman is.
Okay.
So just I added a whole thing.
No, I think it's very good. Because otherwise we have no idea what these things are.
Why it came out, why they think like that, like how they are thinking it's illusion, it becomes a little more confusing.
No, it's very good.
Like that, we can take out all traces of impersonalism inside us.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
That's the main aim.
Well, that's the main aim, yes.
It's the last one. Opinion is poor. Uttarayana means answer. Answer means obviously you are the one who's given.
Yes. So Prabhupada Bhaksha is like, in that case it is a doubt.
Yeah, it's a doubt.
Like, there is another name for doubt. Samshaya.
And Samshaya is a doubt. Purva Paksha is explanation of this doubt.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Supapaksha means it's already an opinion. Samshaya is just a doubt.
Yes.
Samshaya in one sense, samshaya is you're not like, no, yet taken a stand. You're just expressing some doubt. And it's not a philosophy, right? And you give reasons for your point, then it becomes a philosophy.
Yes.
That's why sometimes there is just a one sentence thing where it is just a kind of question mark kind of thing, then you put this sanshaya.
Yes.
But then you explain the sanshaya, then it becomes a full function.
Yes.
Yes.
Believing that
becomes a doctrine, then it becomes a doctrine.
Yes, yes. But this is
what is called
the step.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, come.
Thank you.